This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.
I'm John Batchelor with the historian Nick Bunker. The new book is In the Shadow of Fear, America and the World in 1950. Joseph Stalin is the absolute authority of the Soviet Union. The Soviet Empire can be thought of as imperialism. Joseph Stalin has ambitions in Asia. One of those ambitions is the People's Republic of China. Mao has very little, no air force, no money, no dollars, no cash. He needs Stalin's sponsorship. And what that means is he needs to go to Moscow. Nick, at this point, it becomes extremely mysterious to figure out Stalin one more time. If it was confounding during the Second War, it was tragic during the 1930s. Stalin and Mao, you present us several scenes of them dealing with each other in Moscow after Mao finally gets the invitation and travels there by train. What can we understand now about what Stalin wanted from Mao? Did he see him as a temporary tool? Did he see him as somebody who was obedient, like, say, the Eastern European leaders? How did he regard him?
Well, fortunately, we know quite a lot about this now because the Soviet archives were opened during the 1990s. Now, under Mr. Putin recently, they appear to have been largely closed again. But there was a period when the Soviet archives were available to historians. So a great work has been done on this subject. Now, what Mao wanted, as you said, was obviously support for his economy. He needed support to build an air force. He was thinking at this stage, for example, of possibly invading Taiwan, and he would have required Russian help to do that. There are all kinds of things that Mao wanted. And above all, he wanted to be recognized as almost an equal to Stalin. He wanted to be recognized as the kind of joint leader of the communist world. Now, Stalin's situation was rather different. Stalin was a very wary, cautious, suspicious character. He had known about Mao for a long time because Stalin had taken a very close interest in Chinese affairs right back into the 1920s. Stalin had been involved intimately in the affairs of the Chinese Communist Party and in matters in China right back to circa 1925, 1926. So he knew a great deal about Mao, but he wasn't quite sure what he should do, what kind of relationship he should have with Mao. And the impression, I guess, is that he wanted to make sure that Mao recognized his kind of junior and subordinate role in this relationship. Now, there were certain things that Stalin definitely did want. For example, he wanted to see certain parts of China industrialized. He wanted them to become like the Soviet Union. He wanted to see them become an industrialized power, which would lend weight to communism in its struggle against the West. He was also at this time, Stalin also had some hopes that, for example, there might be a communist uprising in Japan. That was an issue for him. He was also determined to ensure the security of the Soviet Far East. Stalin was always worried about that. Stalin was always worried about that the Soviet Far East, the Far East of Siberia, would become exposed in the event of any future conflict. So Stalin had a kind of number of different motivations. What happened was that Mao came to Moscow, and then the two men had a number of meetings. And during those early meetings, Stalin was really very difficult, very distant with Mao. He wanted to put Mao in his place. And it wasn't until January 1950 that there was a kind of a breakthrough for which Stalin eventually was prepared to give Mao much of what he wanted.
Mao is extremely sensitive about how he's being treated, but he doesn't leave. He meets with representatives from Stalin. Stalin parks him in a dacha in wintertime. Mao is ill, I learned from you. Something like emphysema. It was a very heavy smoker, and the medicos in Moscow help him mend. However, it's very difficult to see at this point what Stalin has in mind for Mao. I puzzle. Did he think of him as competent or lucky? Stalin was a very well-read man and shaped opinions a lot from his reading. Did he compare Mao to anybody?
I don't think he compared Mao to anyone, but there was a tendency in the Soviet Union among the upper ranks of the Communist Party to regard Mao as kind of a simple kind of peasant character. And they didn't really have an enormous amount of respect for him. But gradually during this period in Moscow, Stalin appears to have come to the view that that was someone he could trust, somebody he could work with. There was also a very other important little development, which is often forgotten, which was what the United Kingdom did. Great Britain was one of the first countries to recognize the People's Republic of China as a legitimate regime in China. The British were one of the first to give diplomatic recognition to China, and they did that very early in January 1950. And that was quite important, because once the British had done that, Stalin, I think, really felt that he had to reach out to Mao. He had to come to terms with him. He didn't want to see Mao being somehow or other seduced by the capitalist West. So that British decision to recognize China, which, by the way, was very controversial in America, Americans were very unhappy with Britain doing that. Britain had its own reasons for doing so, but that was quite an important moment. In addition to that, what's quite clear, I think, is that Stalin honestly believed that there were very strong prospects of a continuing communist struggle in Asia, which would greatly strengthen the communist world. For example, of course, there was a civil war going on. There was war going on in Vietnam. The Vietnamese Communist Party, and Ho Chi Minh was making great progress against the French. There were communist uprisings in Malaya, which was a British possession at the time. There were communist uprisings in other parts of Asia. And there was a possibility, of course, of an uprising in Japan. And for all these reasons, Mao saw Asia as the key to the future. And if that was true, he really had to work with Mao.
The book is In the Shadow of Fear, America and the World in 1950. Nick Bunker is the author. Time for the Republicans. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
This message is sponsored by Greenlight. With school out, summer is the perfect time to teach our kids real-world money skills they'll use forever. Greenlight is a debit card and the number one family finance and safety app used by millions of families, helping kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. Parents can send their kids money and track their spending and saving, while kids build money confidence and skills in fun ways. Start your risk-free Greenlight trial today at greenlight.com/iHeart. That's greenlight.com/iHeart.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Hi there, my name's Andy.
And my name's Anna.
And we are two of the four hosts of the podcast No Such Thing as a Fish. We present every week the most amazing, wonderful, insane, hilarious, bizarre facts you've ever heard.
Facts like, did you know America has a national grocery bag packing competition?
Did you know, Anna, the company Volkswagen sells more sausages than it does cars?
Yes, we've got those two facts and about a billion more in our podcast archives for you to listen to. We chat about them, we laugh about them, we make the occasional terrible pun.
It's great fun. It's called No Such Thing as a Fish. Why don't you listen now?